All right, looks like it is 7 o'clock, so we might as well get started this evening, and then we'll see if we can't get out of here on time for a change. Let's begin with prayer. Lord, we thank you for the day that you've given us, for the blessings that this day has brought to us. Lord, each and every day we ought to be more thankful for our salvation, for your forgiveness, for your calling and purpose upon our lives, and we pray that today, Lord, that we've been faithful to you, that we have certainly not walked away or failed to take advantage of any of the opportunities that you've opened for us. And we pray, Lord, that as we spend a little time tonight in study and in prayer, we ask, Lord, that you be a part of that, and that, Lord, it is our desire that through everything that we do here tonight would bring you glory. And so we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we have finished up the book of James the last time we did Wednesday night anyway, and so this is, I find it's hard, it's easier I think to, when you're in some sort of a series from week to week, but it's hard just to figure out one thing to do, but anyway, we got one Wednesday night, and it's really entitled Fact or Fiction, and anyway, if you remember back, it's been a while now. One of the questions we asked on a Wednesday night was, how can we be more evangelistic? And the idea was not that we weren't being evangelistic, but that how could we do more or do better at getting the gospel out in and around our church and community? And one of the things that was listed, one of the responses was simply that we needed to be the hands and the feet of Christ. And there were a lot of good things mentioned, but that was one of them that kind of jumped out at me because of what I think it means. What if someone says if that is an evangelistic tool to be the hands and feet of Christ? What does that mean? What would you understand that to be? Okay. Okay. All right.
I can see it also as going out and building relationships in the community by helping someone in need. Mm-hmm. That's what Jesus did. He reached out to those, and if I get to know them, we know more about how to witness to them and bring them in.
Okay. Yeah. Mr. Maxey, I know you were getting ready to...
To be, in one place, in 2 Corinthians, his ambassadors.
Right.
To be his workmen. Another place, he called to be his workmen.
Mm-hmm.
And the Great Commission, very clear, go ye. And I think that statement was to more than those 11 people. I think it certainly applies to Christians, all disciples, mm-hmm. all those that follow Christ. Seem to be, God points the finger at them and says, okay, now, I saved you.
Mm-hmm.
And I think about this a lot. If this don't happen, especially with the Gideons, we read all of these and hear all of these testimonies of how people miraculously come to Christ through
just picking it up, yeah.
And the thought always occurs that the Bible wasn't there, what would happen? Sometimes I ask that question when I'm giving Gideon messages, if that Bible was not there, what would happen? Well, I don't know. God could do it another way.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems to me he has chosen us to do it. And if we don't do it, at the bare minimum, the file ain't going to get done.
Yeah.
God chose that way for us to be his workman, his spokesman, his feet, his hands, the person that does the work of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
God can do things in any way he wants to because he's God. will be lessened tremendously if we don't do it.
Because whether we understand the depth of it or not, He has still chosen us to do it. That kind of is, it's daunting in one respect, but I think that's the truth of it. And one ripple has wide range effects as it simply moves out. And like you say, to be the hands and feet of Christ, I think it is all of those things that we've just heard. I think if I were going to clarify, as I understand it, and there's a lot of stuff out there about being the hands and feet of Christ, and most of those that talk about it in very practical terms. In other words, if we're going to be the hands and feet of Christ, it's doing very practical things in a way to build a relationship in order to then maybe share with them why we're doing it. I know a church that offers free oil changes to their community in and around the St. Louis, Missouri area. They're in a position where there's a lot of people, whether they can't afford it or where they don't have the expertise to do it, but they simply do it. They won't even accept a donation if somebody wants to give it. They simply say, we're doing it, and they ask, why are you doing it? Well, we just love Jesus, and we think He wants us to help you. Other churches have helped college students move into the dorm. No strings attached. No. Hey, we'll help you carry this box in if you'll show up at our church Sunday. None of that. Simply carry it in, and if they ask you why, well, we just love Jesus, sort of thing. I'm certain, really, in talking. I mean, that's really a great premise of what the Men's Cartwright is trying to develop and do right now. Is it not? They've been running that thing in there. So if there's something you need done, you can't do it, you can't afford it, you need help doing it, whatever it is, if you'll tell us, we'll come to it. Why are we doing it? Because we love Jesus. I mean, that's really it, isn't it? And I applaud that sort of out. I think we need those sorts of things because I think it does in a very positive way put forth the message of Christ. And the great thing about, you know, this idea of being the hands and feet of Christ and simply doing things for people or going wherever we need to go, how we do that and what it looks like, well, it can be defined by the very community in which the church exists. That's why I love things that are adaptable, you know? And so if we look around and we identify any sort of a need, then we can say, well, hey, let's just go do it. And again, if there's no strings attached, very quickly people begin to realize, hey, wow, they mean what they say. They truly love Jesus. Well, I believe, at least in one respect, I believe that even the back to school bash, that, you know, I believe that it is part of that. It really is part of simply being the hands and feet of Christ. I think it's more than that as it's developing, but at least it is that in part, because there are certainly going to be some there that actually need the supplies. Now, a lot of them may or may not need the supplies, but you know what? It doesn't really matter. It don't matter if it's community kids, our kids, it doesn't matter. We're going to give them supplies, right? Just why? Why do we want them to come and have a good time and just fellowship with them? Man, we love Jesus. And when I start thinking about the event that's coming up, there were three words that popped to my mind. First of all was excitement, appreciation, and anticipation. I'm excited about what's coming when I think about this effort. The truth is, I have a blast at these things. Now, I'm going to be in Honduras, as you guys know, on that particular Wednesday night, but I will tell you, I will miss that. There's a lot of things there's a lot of meetings we do that I'm not sad that I'm missing, all right? But I'm going to be sad that I'm missing this, because I love being out in the parking lot, because that's just kind of been my station, you know, get out in the parking lot, greet them when they come in. I have fun doing that, and I have fun when I come and I see the laughter and I see all the stuff going. So I think it's exciting to be a part of that. It's just a way for the community to come together and just be together with no strings attached. Absolutely no. And isn't that a neat thing? I mean, we're not out there in any way saying, hey, now, if you show up Sunday, you can have something. Or, you know, if you're going to make some sort of commitment or donation, we'll try to help. You know, no, just come and have fun with us. So I think that's exciting. The second thing is I am appreciative because it's a lot of work. I'm appreciative to the church as a whole as we'll make donations, as we'll bring supplies, as we'll volunteer our time and our efforts to bring this all together. I mean, it takes a lot of effort, but I'm very appreciative to those that have stepped up and are providing the leadership in this area for us, that I asked to do it again, several weeks ago. I know it's a lot of work. It takes a lot of time. And you know what? Those that are involved in this, they're as busy as the rest of us. And yet they've stepped up and said, yeah, we'll do it again. I appreciate that, you know? And we as a church should appreciate that. And again, I live with anticipation because I really believe, and I'm gonna hit this a little bit later on, but I really believe that when you just love people for Jesus' sake, that it makes a difference. I don't know how, I don't know when, I don't know exactly what it's going to look like, but I know because we do it, lives are going to be touched and changed. And so it's like, wow, okay, how's God going to use it this year? All right, so I did decide that I was going to... my newsletter article is entitled Fact or Fiction, and it will be out for those of you that I know probably wait with great anticipation each and every month, and you can't hardly wait to get to the mailbox to grab out your newsletter, and you probably reread, memorize everything that I write. I know that. I'm appreciative of that, but I'm going to give all of you here tonight advanced copy of the newsletter article that is coming to you. And It is entitled Fact or Fiction. And the truth is, I wanted to share some facts, and I wanted to share some things that I consider to be fiction, because you do hear a lot of different things being said about the back-to-school bash. Some in a very positive light, some statements simply just aren't accurate. You know, and so it's like, well, wait a minute, somehow I haven't maybe got the message out the way that I need to get it out, because apparently... you know, they're not making the connection with what we're trying to do. Got some extra copies there?
Yeah.
Welcome back. So anyway, I decided to, let's just play fact or fiction and walk our way through some things that I believe are important. And so I begin the very first one with fact. And I believe that this is simply part and parcel, and we that this is foundational biblical truth. The church exists in the world to bring glory to God. All right? By sharing His love with everybody. I don't know how else to say it any different. In fact, if I were to go out here, and I'll go out here because my mic will still pick up. I want to read this so I don't mess it up. It says, Turbyville Southern Methodist Church. This edifice, rebuilt in 1986, dedicated to... the glory of God. So it would appear to me that for a long period of time, you all have this understanding that we are church, and the primary purpose we are church is bring glory to God. Now, you know, as I thought about that, I mean, to me, that just, if we begin to understand that we bring glory to God, and there's lots of ways, I believe, to bring glory to God, but I believe absolutely one of the ways, in a very significant way, is by telling and sharing. Because it's not just, man, George, I really love Jesus, and I love you too. I can say that all day, but if George has got something going on, and I know he's got something going on, and I just show up and I help him out, and I do it, and he says, well, why'd you show up? You're a preacher, you don't work. It's like, hey, man, I just love Jesus. All of a sudden, I would bet that he's going to put more emphasis on what I say if I back it up by what I do. I believe that. And so I think it's by showing and sharing. But anyway, Jesus, I think, helps us understand the Christian life and the bookends of our faith very clearly when he was talking. Well, he was talking to Satan when Satan said, if you'll bow down to me, I'll give you what, all the kingdom of the world or something like that. And Jesus quoted to him some scripture, Satan some scripture, But I think these form the bookends of our faith. He said, we worship the Lord our God and serve Him only. We worship, and out of worship we serve. And if we are not serving, you're not worshiping. Those things run together. All right? So we worship the Lord and we serve Him. And it's in our serving Him, I believe, that we truly begin to bring glory to Him. Now, when we talk about being in the hands and feet of Christ, that ministry, that idea, obviously that goes very much, I mean, the Apostle Paul did a lot of talking about the body of Christ, didn't he? You know, where he would say, you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And then he went off and started talking about various parts of the body and how we all fit together and make a complete body. So if we are the body of Christ, and Scripture says that we are, 1 Corinthians 12:27, you are the body of Christ. So if Scripture says we're the body of Christ, does it not make sense that we are to be about what Jesus is about? If He's the head and we're His body, we're His hands and feet, ought we not be, shouldn't we be about doing what He did, right? You know, I suppose we could say, you know, I don't think so, but I don't know how that works. What was Jesus about? Anybody, you know, and there's probably several verses that y'all can use. How did Jesus self-define His own purpose? Yeah, Jesus said, I came to seek and to save the lost, of which we all are a part of, by the way, and praise God He came to seek us. But at least, and there's others, He all said, I came that I might have life and have it abundantly. I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and you can't get to where you need, you can't get to God if you don't come through me. Absolutely. But he said, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. That was His purpose. Just flat out. And if we are the body, then that's what we're supposed to be about. And as we are about those sorts of things, then I think we begin to what? Bring glory to God. Now, Paul would also, in writing to the Corinthians, say whether you eat or whether you drink, and that, by the way, would be very cultural if he left it there. It was about the way they were buying meat and whether it was okay for them to eat the meat that they bought at the marketplace, all right? But he didn't stop there. He continued and he made it universal. He said, so whether you eat or whether you drink, whatever you do, do it all for glory of God. All right? So as we live life, as we worship and as we serve, and as we understand the purpose of Christ, then we bring glory to Him by serving in that way. Now, again, I think there's lots of ways to bring glory to the Father, but Jesus said this, John chapter 15, verse 8. Jesus said, this is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. That's what He said. Now, I know bearing fruit is a lot of things. It's bearing the fruit of the Spirit within us. It's love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, all those things. It's bearing fruit, allowing those to grow in our lives. But without doubt, it also means bearing fruit, also means that there's a harvest out there, and we got to go out and bring in the harvest. That's part of bearing fruit. And Jesus said when we do that, that brings glory to God. So, the church exists in the world to bring glory to God, and we do that by sharing His love. Now, we, by the way, have first been loved. We all know that and understand that. And the call to us is simply to love the Lord our God with all of our hearts, with all of our mind, and with all of our soul. That's the first and the greatest commandment. So said, not me, but Jesus. And we also know that the second one's like it. You know, love your neighbors yourself. And we also know they said even love your enemies. So sharing the love of Christ is what we are about. And you know, when we love God with all that we are, it's only then I think we have capacity to then truly begin to share His love with other people. And you know, it's important to share His love because His love's pretty powerful, isn't it? In the love chapter, which would be, what chapter would that be? Yep, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. There's a little bitty line in verse 8 that says, Christ's love almost never fails. Isn't that it? That's not it? What would it be? Christ's love never fails. Wow. So if we share it, it never fails. It doesn't, it's not going to come back void, just like his word. I mean, it just never fails. And if we're truly in love with Jesus, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. In other words, obey what I tell you to do. And he's pretty explicit about this idea of getting out, right? He said, as the Father has sent me, so am I sending you. We're sent. He said, go make disciples of all people, all nations. He would say, be witnesses at home, in your state, in the bordering states and across the world, you know, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the othermost parts of the world. I mean, that's his command. And he said, if we love him, that's what we do. Paul would say, if we love him, it compels us. And we're going to that chapter that Mr. Maxey brought up that's one of the most powerful, to me, one of the most powerful passages in all of the New Testament. And it's 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And it talks in there, again, about how that we have been entrusted with the ministry of reconciliation. Us. I wouldn't have entrusted us. We also have been given, or the message of God has been committed to us. All right? So Paul says, for Christ's love compels us. I mean, we can't help it. He said, we got to do it because of love. And he said, because we're convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for Christ, who died for them. All right? So, and in that passage of being that love compelling us, he talks about how we're ambassadors. We're spokesmen. We're out there. We're talking to people about Jesus. All right, so to me, That is one of the most crucial facts that we have to understand. Look, we exist to bring glory to God, and we do that by loving people, as hard as it is. Look, you know, God's pretty easy to love most of the time. And, you know, our families are pretty easy to love most of the time. Even most of the people in our church, pretty, you know, but Jesus kept saying, no, it's even, you keep loving. So there's people out there it's difficult to love, and we can't love them if we don't first let his love within us. All right, so fact number two. And I'm going to take the next two, fact and fiction, kind of together because I think they play off each other. A church only focused on itself, inwardly and unwilling to change, is a church that is dying, and I believe that to be a fact. And then the fiction says, fiction is reaching out to others means that we ignore the needs of those in the church. And that is not true. All right. First of all, when a church becomes so inwardly focused that it stops worrying about anybody out there, death is not far away. Okay? It's just, you know, you can go out and you can take a look at churches that are withering and dying, and I can guarantee you they have for a while not been worried about anybody out there when it's all about them and just what they want and their needs, all right? First of all, and I think this is biblical, I think, is a church that isn't reaching out, is that church in the will of God? Is there any verses that you can substantiate that with? That's a good one. From my end, for God is not willing, God's will, God not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. All right, so if once a church isn't reaching out, once it's only looking at itself, it has stepped out of the will of God. That's a scary place to be, by the way. Is a church that isn't reaching out, are they being obedient and faithful? No, because Christ said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And one of the commandments, Frankie just said, is go out in all the world and tell folks about me. All right? That's what Jesus said. That's my commandment to you. And the truth is, once we have stepped out of God's will, once a church has stopped being obedient and faithful, death is going to come if repentance doesn't come first. That's just truth. You know, and so this idea that, oh, we just, you know, we must always kind of, you know, not that we're going to reaching out to others means we ignore those in the church. That's not what reaching out means. That's not what, you know, because the truth is, and we're taking these together, is because, you know, the truth is the command is to make disciples, right? Conversion is not equal with disciple. It's the first step. It's the beginning, but it's not the end, is it? There's things that need to, once a person has made a decision for Christ, they've embraced his love, there's things that they need to do, right? All right, and where are they going to do that? Well, they're going to do that in the church because that's the way God set it up for them to grow within their faith, to be set apart, to be sanctified, to grow in their faith. All right? And we encourage each other as a church. We help each other. We teach each other. We learn really together about what following Jesus is all about. All right? And we do these things through fellowshipping and worshiping and teaching ministries. When it comes to fellowship, I mean, I think that's one of the great redeeming things, you know, of even the camp meetings. Yes, I love the testimonies and the songs, but it's good just to get together and have fun. I tell you what, if you're laughing, you're usually not fussing with each other. And being together is just good. Building those relationships, making them solid, it's good. And we do that as a church. We do that as groups. We do that even, you know, as you know, when different families get together and just have fun with each other. All right, we need that. We do that through teaching. You don't make a disciple just doesn't turn out. You got to teach them. Well, we have Sunday school. We have children's church. We have youth group. We have league. We do WMS. We have Cartwright Men. We have other men, another men's group. I mean, these are all teaching ministries. Why? Helping people, focusing on growing disciples, helping us all learn a little bit more than we already knew. Again, providing for those in the church. Fellowship. Yes, it can be outreach, but more often than not, it is focused mainly for us. Though it can, you know, the teaching ministry, certainly Sunday school could be evangelistic, but more often than not, it is focused for those of us that have already made decisions. And that's okay. And of course, worship. Well, to me, worship is where it all comes together. See, we worship together, we study the Word together, we fellowship together, and so, you know, if you add all these things up, I guess what I'm saying is, you know, every church needs to keep the right balance between focusing outward and making sure taking care of the needs inwardly. But if you add up, you know, and I did, I sat down and said, okay, what are we doing in these areas? Like, well, okay, you know, and then what are we doing for outreach? And I'm saying, I don't think we have I guess the reason why I consider it to be fiction, reaching out means we ignore the others, is I'm seeing that we do a lot for our church already, for us. And that's good. That's okay. And we're just now beginning. We haven't taken away from anything, but we're simply adding to by being a little more intentionally outward focused, not taking away from anything. We added the back-to-school bash. The harvest party now, instead of just for our kids, we invited some other kids to come and play with them. So it's not like we've taken anything away from our kids. We've simply added to the mix. All right? We have added an outreach event like the My Hope, Billy Graham's My Hope America, where we've done some special services. But more than that, if you think about it, most of our outreach has simply been to be a little more intentional in the things that we're doing. So we really haven't robbed Peter to pay Paul, is what I'm trying to say. And sometimes when we hear that, I think we just need to lovingly say, you know, really, no, we're not taking away from anything from our own. We're taking care of our own very well. We're just trying to include a few extras along the way. All right. Fiction. It's our church. And no, it's not our church. We didn't die for it. We're not Lord. And our mission is not defined by us, but by Christ. From that little, those plaques out in the hallway, there's a list. That's a who's list of people that God has used in a mighty way in our church. And it's a great list. I mean, it really is. I mean, even I recognize some names, you know, on that list. Like, wow, you know, I mean, okay. And I say this with no disrespect. This church does not exist because of any of them. It exists because of Jesus. Their role, which I believe they very faithfully lived out, was simply to be faithful to Jesus. And is that not our role too? Simply be faithful to Jesus. All right? So it's, I know we sometimes get caught, you know, my church. And I think most of the time that's okay, but I think we have to be a little cautious when we throw that around to know that underneath it, no, it's really not my church, our church, but it's the Lord's church. All right. So I consider that to be fiction. Fact. And that's a little longer one, so I'm not going to read that to you. So why don't you read that real fact. Fact, it starts with the back-to-school bash is a way to share the love of Christ with our community. And we'll start moving pretty quick because I've covered most of these things already. I'll give you just a minute. All right, you've already, again, we've already hit the basic premises that we share the love of Christ, it makes a difference. And that's, remember I talked about anticipation, not knowing when or how? Man, I really believe that somewhere down the way, somebody is going to find their way, whether to our church or another church, they're going to find their way to a church based on what we do, even at a back-to-school bash. Because they're going to be up against it, and they're going to think that life is not worth living. And then I believe that God, through the Holy Spirit, is going to remind them of a bunch of Christians that loved them enough just to come and have feed them a hot dog and put up a bouncy house and give them some supplies and say, you know, maybe there are some people in this world that really care about me. And you know, the truth is, I don't care if they come here or they go to another church, so long as they make their way into the kingdom of Christ. I believe a life touched is always different. And yes, I believe based on the response last year, I don't know, we're going to do it this year anyway. We may do it next year. We may do it for 5 years, and then we may decide, you know, it's run its course. It's time to do something else to be the hands and feet of Christ. There's never, you know, just because you do it once, twice, or even three times, it doesn't mean you have to indefinitely do it. But so long as the people are coming out, and did they not come out last year? I mean, I don't know about you, but God just reassured me that my faith probably wasn't as big, because I'm just thinking, Lord, give us a couple hundred, please. We've worked hard, and and all of a sudden it's like, oh man, we're not going to have enough backpacks. Well, you know. And so what do we do? On the Saturday following this thing, I remember several of us loading up with after we got more backpacks and basically finding people that we didn't get backpacks to and taking it to their home. So based on that, I believe if God's blessing it, I think you do it. All right? Again, I think it's just a... And the reason the line there says, I think we should be doing three of these along with some other outreach events is simply based on this premise, is that it often takes as many as 6 to 8 touches or invites for a person to finally come to church with you. In other words, if you've asked somebody to come to church with you or to be to do something at church, many times if they're unchurched, and our society is increasingly unchurched, it usually takes 6 to 8 invites before they finally say, well, okay. So don't give up after 1 or 2 times is all I'm saying, okay? So what do? We do one of these events, and we do another something event, and we do another something event, knowing that it may take 6 or 8 times for us to really begin to see any fruit from it, but that's okay, because we're still sharing the love of Jesus. All right. And fiction. The back-to-school bash is for those only outside of the church. And if you read through that very quickly, you're going to find out that, and this is one that I've heard around the church several times since last year and even recently. And so I wanted to be sure to get this in here and to be very clear, because I think this is important. That somehow we're ignoring our kids or our church when we do these events. And I personally believe nothing could be further from the truth. That's why I say, no, not true, fiction, just not accurate. Look, it is for the community, but it's for our children too. It's for our youth. It's for our adults. We want all to come and to be a part of that evening. And yes, we'll provide supplies to all the children who come as best that we can. So I really, and that's just one that I've even, like I say, even had discussions here recently. No. It's not just for them out there. It's for all of us. It's for all of us. Okay? And then we end with one last fact. There's joy in serving and in being obedient to Christ's commission. And I love the acronym this year of GPS. Give, pray, and serve. All right? Jesus once sent out 72 of his disciples, it said, in Luke chapter 10. He sent them out, and they did ministry, and they came back. And it says, the 72 returned with joy. With joy. Why? Because they had been sent, they'd been obedient and faithful, and in the process, when we serve, there is an underlying joy that we get by being faithful to the Lord. So I believe it is truly an opportunity for us to be the loving hands and feet of Christ. And I want to share one last quick story with you. At the annual conference this year, I was talking with a pastor, and both of us were kind of lamenting the numbers from last year. And like I say, we reported last year the one conversion. You all have heard that story, and and he said, well, how are things going for you this year? And I said, well, from last year to next, I said, here's the numbers, 28 conversions and 32 baptisms. And he looked at me and he said, wow. And I said, and I said, before you say anything, it's all Jesus. I said, I don't understand it. I really can't put my finger on it. He said, well, what did you do differently? You had to do something differently. And I said, you know, really the only thing that I believe that we really did differently was we really, I think, at least a group within the church really began to pray that we would, that he would use us to reach people with his gospel. We really began to pray, and I said we became a little more intentional in the things that we were doing to try to make sure that we invited others to come and be a part of it. And I said, out of that, God began to move. Because, the story, Jesus, about the vine, the branches, and the vine, right? You know, you can't, without Jesus, nothing happens. The truth is, we didn't do anything except to catch the wave that God sent us to ride. His power, his wave, his purpose. All we did was say, you know what? I think we want to go along with that. And all of a sudden, you know, God blessed in ways that I didn't see coming. And I suspect even though most of us would have said, well, yeah, it might be possible to win 20 people to Jesus. I suspect most of us would say, I don't know. Because if we would have went back in the books, because I have several years, it's been a while since that number's been that great. And again, it's not us, but it's what God's doing when we get faithful. So anyway, I think it's neat, and I am excited. Anytime we get an opportunity to share Christ's love in such a great fashion, we're going to have all these people right here. We smile at them. We talk to them. We welcome them. We feed them. We give them a few supplies, whatever it is. And, yeah, it costs a little money. So what? Not our money anyway. It's not our money anyway. So just know that, again, that particular Wednesday night, I will be sad that I am not here, because I really, there are things that I really hate to miss, and that is going to be one of them. But you will be being prayed for up to and during that. So, all right, any questions or thoughts? Okie dokie. Let's turn our attentions to some prayer requests and some. First on my list was Ray Yoder, and he just is recovering from surgery. The update that Carol shared with me before a lot of people got, it was that he's doing great. He's doing great. So exciting. Maybe even an answer to prayer. I don't know. I believe probably most of us were praying that he would do really good with this, and he is. You know, so we continue to pray for him. As he recovers we just need to be praying that as he recovers, but the rest of their finances will come in. You know, again, we have 39 reporting churches, and it would probably be hardly less than $20 a month if every reporting church would just get $20 a month. Their financial need would be met. And I feel kind of set bad because I didn't stand up and say that in conference, but it kind of came to me after the fact. It's like, wow, wouldn't take much if we'd all just pull together to get this thing done. But anyway, God has ways of bringing it together, so let's just pray that happens. It's time for them to get where God has called them to be. All right. Remember Jake Creech, Reverend Jake Creech? He had surgery, a procedure today on his heart in Charlotte, I believe. It is a surgery that's just been approved by the FDA. He was having some issues with clotting, and he kind of explained to me, to be honest with you, I didn't understand all of it, just that he was going to go have this surgery, and the doctors thought that would really help him turn around. He's just not doing good right now. He's had a knee replaced, and just a lot of things going on, but I told Brother Jakey that we would be praying for him tonight, I know he'll appreciate it. It is one of those things that they do like a heart cath. So if all goes well, he'll be back in Turbyville either tomorrow or Friday. So remember Brother Jake. The team leaves Saturday morning bright and early, sometime before most of us get up on Saturday morning. So remember them Friday night when you go to bed. Because I doubt you're going to get up and pray for them, you know, when they're leaving that early. So remember the mission team, and they'll be down and back and have a good week of ministry. Obviously, we spent a lot of time talking about the back-to-school bash, which is 2 weeks from tonight. And so the clock is quickly ticking, but the details can quickly come together. If you have not already signed up to volunteer, there's a sign-up sheet out in the hallway, and I can look out here based on the names that I read. Some of you haven't signed up yet, but if you haven't, you need to make sure that you do. It is coming. There may be, again, next Wednesday night may be a wear your tennis shoes and go invite. Is that when you were planning on doing? We're hoping the cards are here. So just be flexible next Wednesday. Come prepared to go. If I guess maybe you'll know by Sunday. You can announce it. All right, well, if we can get the chairman of the board to announce it, we'll be all right. So, anyway. All right, those are the ones that I had. So, any that you have?
I've got a huge praise. Last night at our house, Eddie, my child Eddie, has been asking a lot of questions lately about Jesus. It represents, you know, salvation in her own words, Jesus coming in her heart. You try to wait till they understand as much as they can. Well, last night, Eddie prayed and received Jesus as her Lord and Savior.
Sweet. Amen for that. Amen. That is a big praise.
Remember Garrett, Ray Garrett, Brittany, Barbara passed away this morning.
Okay. Margaret Joy. Anybody else? Okay. Okay. Okay, we sure remember Brother Bobby.
Two boys missing at sea. Mr. Julian. Miss Fairgrain. Dealing about.
Absolutely. Sure. Sounds like. Well, if that's not a wake-up call, I don't know what is. Okay. Okie dokie, let's gather up and pray.